846 4CR.
Very keen to have a chat to our next guest. His name is Dean Parkin. Dean is campaign director of the Yes 23 campaign, The Voice to Parliament. He's actually joining us from North Stradbroke Island, beautiful part of the world, of course, Quandamooka country. And it's a pleasure to have him on the show now. Dean, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Mate, thanks for joining us. I know how busy you must be at this point. You've got a very big job on your hands, that is for sure, so we appreciate you taking the time. Dean, look,
no worries.
I guess I just wanted to start from the start, if I can. There's so much noise around about The Voice. If you can, just for listeners, for our audience, just give us in a couple of sentences, if you can, you know, what exactly is The Voice from your perspective? What does it mean?
Yeah, it's very simple, Gavin. It's a representative body made up of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, chosen by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, that's independent of government and parliament, and that provides advice to the parliament and government on issues that have a particular importance for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So we see year after year things like health and education outcomes not matching those of non-Indigenous Australians. This is simply about bringing the wisdom of communities to key decisions for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, quite simply so we get better results, so we actually start to see real progress in communities. That's what this is all about.
I mean, it's so disappointing, in fact, though, isn't it, that hasn't been happening already for decades, listening to people on the ground in community.
Well, that's right. And there's been a shared frustration. I'm talking to non-Indigenous and Indigenous Australians around the country for the last 6 years on this. And there is shared frustration that there hasn't been the progress that everybody wants to see. In fact, it doesn't really matter if you support the yes side or the no side on this. Everybody agrees that we need to do better in this country for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. There's a lot of goodwill to do that. And we know that the foundation for that is deeply and genuinely listening, because it's the people in the communities that really know how things work on the ground. And again, that's why there's this very strong push for The Voice.
I mean, what's your, you know, we've got lots of questions from listeners as well. I know you're flat out, so we'll try not to keep you too long. But, you know, what's your sense of the mood out there? There was a fairly significant poll out in the Fin Review just a couple of days ago. It is saying that public support is shifting away from The Voice to Parliament. This was an AFR freshwater strategy poll of over 1,000 people. They're just saying that support is currently at 48% and opposition to the advisory body has risen 10 percentage points since the end of 2022. I mean, what's your read on the mood at the moment, Dean?
Well, I get my read from the conversations around the communities. There are different polls published every week. There were three polls published last week, all had different results.
Yes.
So it's a fraught business trying to sample the mood of the nation on those different results. What I'll say is this: there is a very different conversation that's happening with politicians, with the media, and to a lesser extent with the lawyers that have been involved in this issue, to that which is happening in the community.
Mm.
In fact, a lot of the issues that are being furiously debated in the media around this, I don't hear that when I go into the community. People are asking for way more simple information, what this is about, how they can get involved. So I think part of this is understanding that people in Australia, the voters, the people that will actually make the decision on this in the referendum in a few months' time, are thinking about this very differently. And there is an incredible amount of goodwill that's sitting behind those conversations. So that's what encourages me and... yeah, to an extent, we're really looking forward to continuing expanding that conversation around the country.
And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the closing the gap has been a bit of a buzzword, hasn't it, for so many years, Dean, and yet we continue to see in some areas of service delivery, the gap widens and not closing. So something has to change. That is absolutely for sure. Dean, I think one of the biggest or most common, I don't know, concerns or questions that we certainly get here on the talk show and even in conversation is people say, well, I need more detail. I need more detail. What does it actually mean? What's going to happen? It's one thing to ask us to vote yes, but what happens then? What's the mechanism? What's some of the detail? I mean, is that something that you're hearing? Like, people want more information? Certainly that poll I mentioned there, this AFR freshwater strategy poll, was something like, less than half of respondents say they have sufficient information on the proposal. and that people saying that if they had more information, they might be more likely to vote yes. Is that a common question you're hearing, and how do you address those concerns about detail?
Yeah, so, and I think this has been a consequence, again, of the nature of the conversation that we've heard out of Canberra, and it's been quite confusing. We have to be very clear with people about what they're actually going to be voting on when it comes to the referendum. We're not going to be, me, you, everybody else over the age of 18, 18 million or so Australians, we're not going to be asked to vote and understand a particular point of detail of the voice. We're not going to need to know about the representative structure. We're not going to be asked to choose between option A versus option B versus option C of the voice. We're going to be asked very simply, well, two parts. One question, should we recognise Indigenous peoples in the Constitution as the first peoples of this country? And should there be a voice? It's the job of the Australian people in a referendum to tell the Australian Parliament and tell the politicians and future governments that the voice needs to exist, that there needs to be a representative body for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples to advise on these important issues. Following the referendum, the Parliament will do its job, as it should, and that is to, you know, finalise the details of the voice. But we know that, broadly speaking, it will have representation of Indigenous people across the country. There'll be gender equity, male, female. The voice will advise on issues. It won't have a veto role. It won't be voting on bills in Parliament. So there's a bunch of principles in there that do sit behind what the voice will look like. But very simply, it is about making sure that we finally start to see some real traction. And remember that this is being called for by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples across the country who deal with these issues on a daily basis. They've been talking about this for a very long time and have said, well, look, there's not going to be no silver bullet here. Nobody pretends that. But this is absolutely the foundation. This is the foundation for that real, sustained, genuine change that absolutely everybody wants to see.
I think, Dean, that this is one of the hard things for people to get past, though, exactly what you've just said. You've said what we are voting on. We're not voting on the detail of what that representative body looks like. We're not voting on, you know, all of these other things. We're being asked to vote to recognise First Nations people in the Constitution and to establish a voice. I guess the feedback is, though, that one automatically follows the other. And so if we vote yes as a majority and it gets through, then we're, I guess, effectively giving the green light to then progress to that detail. So I guess it's people just seem a little bit unclear that they're still going to be asking for detail. I know that that's probably frustrating for you.
I think there's an opportunity between now and the referendum. I mean, we're still 6 months away. We want people to understand and deeply understand what it is that they'll be asked to do come referendum day. There'll be further conversations. There'll be further information. And I think you're going to start to hear a lot more from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in communities themselves saying why.
I think that's important, Dean. Exactly.
It is.
Now let's go. Let's just go through, I guess, a few mythbusters, if we can. You mentioned there about veto. That's been one thing that, you know, certain quarters are saying that, well, the voice or the representative body will have the right to veto certain legislation. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's never been the intention from the beginning. The provision that's been drafted makes it very clear that its role is to make representations to the Parliament and government of the day. At the end of the day, the Parliament and government will be able to make up its own mind as to whether to accept that representation or that advice, if you like. That will not impede the normal workings of government. What we'll just say is that they'll be making decisions with better intelligence. They'll be making decisions with better information about what actually works and what doesn't. And as you say, with the lack of progress on closing the gap, this is a bipartisan thing. There's no government that could put their hand up and say they've got this right in Indigenous affairs. So I think there'll be a great appetite from Parliament to listen to the voice because everybody wants to see better results. So no veto. Parliament will get on and do its job as it normally does, but with more advice.
All right, very good. No veto. Okay, next one, Dean. We've had a text. We had a text from a caller. Let me put this one to you. They're saying here that there's a lot of, there's some information or disinformation, as the case may be, you'll tell us in a minute, about a treaty under the voice must include a, quote, fixed percentage of gross national product, also payment of rates, land tax, royalties to the voice annually. Is that the case?
No, and treaty and the voice are two separate issues, and it is absolutely not the case that that in casting a vote on The Voice that says anything about treaty. They're very separate processes. This is a very simple, clear-cut question. Should there be a voice? And should we make sure that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have that input on those important issues? It's as simple as that, and that's a fairly easy one to debunk.
All right, that was Laurie. Thanks to Laurie for sending us text. No, The Voice has nothing to do with the treaty, a completely separate matter. So the concerns, or I've certainly seen it floating around as well. I think we got some emails, people saying that if you vote yes for The Voice, you'll be voting for a fixed percentage of GNP and other royalties to be paid. Not the case. You're hearing from Dean Parkin. Dean is campaign director of the Yes 23 campaign. Look, what else do I want to touch base with you about, Dean? Look, concerns about those of us who've been around for a while. I certainly lived in the territory for a few years when ATSIC was around. People saying, "Well, we're just creating another ATSIC," and unfortunately, that ended up not being a huge. Well, I mean, it was disbanded, of course. Your thoughts on the representative body? Is it another ATSIC? Will there be regional voices represented? Do we know yet how that representative body will be voted for and selected?
So it's a very different organisation to ATSIC. ATSIC had a wide range of service delivery responsibilities. So it effectively had a budget, and it was delivering services instead of government, or along complementary to government. The Voice will not be doing that. That role will be left to the existing service delivery organisations to perform that function. This will be about making sure that there is real advice about what actually works and improving those services, and making sure that the investment that is spent and the goodwill that is in there and has been there for a very long time actually translates to real action, to real improvement on the ground. One thing I'll say about you mentioned the demise of ATSIC there. Some of the people that were involved, some of the politicians that were involved in abolishing ATSIC later on came out a couple of years later and said it was a mistake. It was a mistake because what we'd done is we lost the connection between decisions made in Canberra and what had actually happened on the ground. In fact, the former Minister for Indigenous Affairs responsible at the time, Senator Amanda Vanstone, came out and said that it was a mistake in the way that ATSIC was abolished. So that's lessons learned. And that's one when people, you know, when we look at this opportunity to have a referendum on The Voice, it's actually learning the lessons from the past and saying, well, let's get it in. Let's make sure it works. Let's make sure it does the job that it needs to do, so that ultimately, as you say, we get the changes that everybody wants to see.
I mean, it's not the job of federal local MPs on the ground to have that connection with community and feed that back into decisions in Canberra.
It's part of it, but yeah, understand that for a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the country, they're very, very small populations. We're not the kind of group that swings elections. We're not the forefront of mind for most politicians when they're thinking about how to get re-elected. But the problems that we have and the challenges that we have in our communities consume a lot of government activity, consume a lot of parliamentary focus. And so, I mean, if in an ideal world it would, but we are where we are right now, Gavin, and clearly it's not working. What we're doing right now isn't working. So getting that direct intelligence, and as I say, I think politicians will actually welcome this. They'll actually look at this and go, well, now we've actually got more support to get this right. We've got more evidence at our fingers, more experience to actually make sure that the decisions they make are getting us right. So I think it'll be seen as a positive. It'll be seen as a benefit, and you know, better results, better value for taxpayer spend. Everybody wants to see that.
Well, unfortunately, some major parties aren't on the side of The Voice at the moment. That must be disappointing to see the Libs and the Nats, among others.
Well, there's a lot of people inside those organisations that do support this. And I don't necessarily, I mean, including those that are in Parliament, but also the membership of those organisations. There's this proposal, this referendum actually has broad support across all sorts of different sectors. I mean, you see big business and unions standing side by side on this, going, this is something that we should do. You see members of the Labor Party, members of the Liberal Party, and indeed many members of the National Party and other parties around the country saying, that this is something that they're getting behind. Mm. So I think, you know, sometimes, and this probably is not surprising to you or your listeners, sometimes the Parliament doesn't necessarily always have its finger on the pulse on this.
No. And that was very diplomatically put, Dean.
Well, I'm trying, Gavin.
Well done, well done.
And but in all seriousness, I think when you actually take it out of Canberra, that conversation, you have it on the ground, it's a different conversation. And that's where we want to put a lot of our focus.
All right, just let me, I know that we've kept you long, but it's important to cover some of these matters. Again,
sure.
Another texter in has said, well, the ATSI population of this country represents about 3.8% of the total Australian population. There are 11 First Nations representatives in the Senate and the House of Reps in Canberra, and all of this attention enshrining this voice in the Constitution, is that disproportionate given the First Nations population, as it says, about 3.8% according to the ABS? So what do you have to say about a comment like that?
Well the members and the former the very first Indigenous Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Ken Wyatt, who lost his seat at the last federal election, he summed this up very, very succinctly. He said, as an Indigenous person, as a member of parliament, as a minister, he said he had two overriding responsibilities. First, his first responsibility was to his party. It was to the Liberal Party, the party that pre-selects him and gives him a shot at being an elected politician. His second overriding responsibility and accountability was to his electorate, the people of Hasluck. And that's the responsibility, as you well know, Gavin, that's the responsibilities that parliamentarians have. Mm. Then we say, though, for the Indigenous MPs, well, you've got a third one on top of that.
Mm.
And the third one is that you've got to represent the voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Mm.
And as we see quite often, those competing pressures are very, very difficult to hold. And what you see is some decisions that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people say, well, we want you to go this way, they can't because their party or their electorate says something else. Mm. And so what we want with The Voice is for it to be above politics. We want a direct line to the representatives on The Voice, to people in community. Their sole focus, their sole accountability is not to a party or to other constituents.
Mm.
It's directly to Indigenous peoples in community because that's where the focus has to be.
Very well said. All right, Dean, we're going to have to let you go. Look, finally, I guess symbolism, you know, there's lots of talk about symbolism. You know, the apology to that Kevin Rudd made, certainly, you know, it's about healing as well. But some people say, well, it's just symbolism. It didn't actually have any impact on the ground. Your thoughts finally here, Dean, will The Voice, if it is successful in October or November, whenever we vote, do you think it will lead to practical change and action on the ground in community?
Absolutely. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. When we asked Indigenous people after a nearly 30-year-long process, if we're going to recognise Indigenous peoples in the Constitution, what's the most meaningful way? The answer was couldn't have been clearer. It's got to be practical. It's got to have an impact on the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on the ground. That's what The Voice is all about. It's about that experience and knowledge. I can't overstate how important it is to actually be listening to mob who know how these issues work on a day-to-day basis, to be giving that advice directly to the decision makers. It is the foundation for the real practical change that everybody wants to see in our country. And I just encourage people to come at this with a real open mind and understand that the intention for this is absolutely about practical change. It's about bringing the country together, and we just want everybody to get involved. We want everybody to get involved in the conversation, because the beauty of a referendum, it's not actually about the politicians.
Mm.
It's about every single individual Australian getting involved and casting their vote a few months' time. So I really look forward to continuing that conversation more broadly in Cairns in particular. I've lived up in Cairns, have a great affinity up there and the far north. So I'm really looking forward to getting out there and having more yarns with people.
Very well said, Dean Parkin. We've kept you very, very long indeed, and we threw a lot of questions at you, but, mate, we really appreciate your time on the 4CA Talk Show this morning. Thank you.
Good on you, Gavin. Really appreciate it, mate.
That's Dean Parkin. Dean is Campaign Director of the Yes 23 campaign and that Voice to Parliament.